Good morning and welcome to worship on this third Sunday of Advent. We want to acknowledge those who are worshiping with us from home and our friends at the Springs. Glad that we can be together, even through the distance. Grateful for Todd for streaming the services. If you're able, I invite you to stand for a brief order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who comes to wake us from sleep, who leads us into the light of grace. Amen. Let us prepare the way of the Lord by confessing our sin against God and neighbor. God of grace and mercy, we confess that we have not prepared for your merciful reign among us. We ignore our neighbors in need and fail in the labor of justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your light and to seek the things that will endure until Christ comes again in glory. Amen. Comfort, O comfort my people, says our God. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and all things are made new. Rejoice in this good news. Amen. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the words of your prophets, that anointed by your Spirit, we may testify to your light. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated, and we will at this time sing three verses of Light One Candle, and then the Advent leaf wreath candles will be lit. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for this victory wreath that marks our days of preparation for Christ's advent. As these candles glow among us, strengthen our hearts while we await the Lord's coming in glory. Enlighten us with your grace, that we may serve our neighbors in need. Grant this, we pray, through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen. At this time, we prepare our hearts and our ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offsprings among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" John confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. One verse from that Gospel lesson. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. The word there, witness and testify, are actually the same word, just one's a verb and a noun, and so when they get translated, they sound different. But in Greek, it's the same. And in fact, that word for witness, either the noun or verb, shows up 6 times in John chapter 1 alone. Last week, we heard from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, where we met John the Baptist. Today, here in the opening of the Gospel of John, we meet the same person, but something is a little different. He doesn't really do all that much baptizing. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. He's known and discussed as one who does baptizing generally, but we don't actually see him doing any baptisms in the Gospel of John. What we see is him bearing witness. He came as a witness to testify to the light. And bearing witness is a completely different thing. Bearing witness is not proclaiming to truths of the universe beyond which we did not know before. Instead, bearing witness is sharing your own personal testimony, your own experience. It's John telling his story. This is a completely different emphasis to John than we usually have. In the Gospel of John, we frankly don't really have John the Baptist. We have John the Witness. And among the other things that can tell us, it says something to us and what it means for us to be telling our own story, ourselves as witnesses. And as I thought of this week and the power of what it is to tell our story, I couldn't help but think of my own life. One thing that happens to you if you feel called and act upon that calling toward ordination in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is that in the process of getting there, you have to tell the story of your call to ministry many, many, many times in many different venues. And I did it all in a one-year condensed thing, so all those meetings happened right next to each other. The first time I had to do that, I did really have to think about it and do some real delving into my own personal experience of what my story to my call of ministry really was. And it took some real time. But because I had to recount it so frequently, I eventually got really good at telling that story. And every time I told it, you know, the story changes a little bit. And I don't think I was making things up. I think that as I continued to tell it, you start noticing details that you didn't notice the first time you told it. Things that really did happen, but now you start seeing more significance. And of course, when you tell a story like that, and you tell it again and again, you read the audience you're with, and there are very different versions of that same story. For example, when I was in my clinical pastoral education training, which included what was basically group therapy, they want to hear that same story, but really emphasizing the deep traumas of your life. The more of that, the better for that group. I could do that, so I did. Or, when you tell the story to someone who's a character in the story, like a family member or something like that, you might really emphasize their role, or maybe not talk about them at all this time. Might not help them in that space right now to bring them up. And sometimes you need that story to be 2 minutes long, and sometimes it needs to be 10 minutes long. You don't know. Always it's different, and yet the same story. We all do that when we tell stories because we recognize what stories really are. They're narratives of our experience, but they're meant to depict meaning and identity of who we are as people. And I say that all just to emphasize what it means to bear witness. We all have a lot of experience in our lives, but when we bear witness to what's happened to us, when we tell a story, it is those experiences, but we frame it in different ways, in different contexts, because we're conveying meaning. And we recognize the stories we tell are really about who we are as people. I share all of that because of this focus today. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. John the Baptist, is a very human figure in the Gospel of John. He's asked whether he's Messiah, Elijah, or even a prophet, and he says no, because his story really isn't about him. His story, his witness, is about the light. But I hope you noticed something in that little verse. It says he's a witness to the light. But this passage, that first part, of the reading today is stuck right in the prologue to the Gospel of John, which began, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things came into being through Him. Without Him, not one thing came into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all people." Many of you probably have that passage more or less memorized. But then here we have saying of John, "He came as a witness to testify to the light." But what's the light in that passage before? You would think that the real witness, if you're trying to say who this Jesus is, would have not been the light, but the root cause of that light. The Word that was with God, and the Word was God. But that's not what John says. It says of John, "He came as a witness to testify to the light." There might be a few reasons that the text explains that he bore witness to the light rather than to the Word, but I'd like to suggest a possibility. Because perhaps what John experienced was not the Word directly. John experienced the light. The character of the eternal Word of God as the Alpha and Omega is frankly pretty hard to understand. It's based upon the Trinitarian conception of God. It's of all that God is. And we, who have the Old Testament and New Testament, John clearly didn't have the New Testament. It's unclear if he had the Old Testament. And we have now 2,000 years further of contemplation and thinking, and any honest theologian will tell you we barely understand what the character of the Trinitarian God is. It's not really for humans to fully understand, much less be able to express clearly to others. John came as a witness to testify to the light. He could witness the light. The light is the effect of the Word that the Word had on the world. Rather than it being who God is, it's what God has done. I don't know how much John could have bore witness in his own personal experience to the character of who God is in the space of the cosmos, but he sure could bear witness to the new experience of new life in Christ. John bears witness to the world bringing something different than we expected. And what we have in the second half of this verse might help us understand even more. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. John simply tells his story, his own experience. And that experience is going to do something so that all might believe. And that might be an odd thing, at least on the face of it. How does simply bearing witness to my experience, telling my own story, cause other people to believe? Isn't it about you, not others? But I believe that's the power of what a story can do. It's different than most forms of communication. The scholar Marshall Gans says the following with respect to what stories do. And this is a quote. "Stories not only teach us how to act, they inspire us to act. Stories communicate our values through the language of the heart, our emotions. And it's what we feel, our hopes, our cares, our obligations, not simply what we know, that inspire us with the courage to act." End quote. Bearing witness to the light is not presenting something that only happened to myself and nobody else. Instead, the witness we bear about our own lives, telling our own story, is very frequently how we connect with other people. While our stories hold us as individuals as the main character, they're not things that exist only for ourselves. They are interesting to other people because we live in community. And so when I tell my story, it is a part of all of our stories. John the Witness tells his story that we might believe. And the real witness, the real story, I would suggest is even for him, not even really with words. Right before that reading, where it says that John bore witness to the light, the Gospel of John says of Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light John witnessed can be defined. It is life. We bear witness to that life the same way John did, through our life. Sometimes the witness does indeed involve saying things out loud, explaining it, as John clearly did. Other times it's far simpler. How we live our own lives. We live by example, the life that is within us. That life can be an example because of Christ within us. That's the light to which we bear witness every day. Amen. Church throughout the ages, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. With hope and expectation, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration with the words, "Merciful God, hear our prayer." O God, fill our mouths with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy as we bear witness to the great things you have done. Give your church a spirit of gladness as we gather and as we are sent. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Let the trees of the field sing your praise. Protect forests, orchards, rainforests, and all wooded areas from disease and deforestation. Keep us grateful for their gifts of oxygen, food, shade, and shelter. Merciful God, hear our prayer. You love justice and promise your favor to those who are oppressed, brokenhearted. Grant wisdom and compassion to those who work for public safety and all who work within prisons, jails, courts, that mercy may increase and violence wither away. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Give us strength to pray for our world without ceasing, and provoke us toward love and good deeds for all who are in need. Provide for all without adequate housing, food, employment, or access to health care. Be with those suffering in mind, body, or spirit. This week we pray especially for Terry Champ, Chuck Dietz, Dallin Gay Haverland, Morgan McCrory, Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, and several of the family members of David Joe. For whom else or what else do the people pray? All these we've named aloud, those held in our hearts and those known only to you we pray. Merciful God, hear our prayer. With gratitude we rejoice in the saints who witness to your life in all circumstances, in whom your spirit was not quenched even in death. Through them teach us always to hold fast to what is good in the midst of our own grief. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Listen to these in all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please stand up, share that peace with one another. Wave to those joining us from home. A few notes about our life together this week. First and foremost, you see on the end of your bulletin there our Advent and Christmas worship schedule. Do take note of several things there. First thing is to note this Tuesday is our Blue Christmas service at 7 p.m. So we will not be having our normal Together Tuesday schedule. There won't be a meal, and there won't be a class. Instead, it'll just be 7 p.m. worship. The children's choir is meeting at 6, as they usually do, but there won't be an adult class, and Music Together is on break. So it's 7 p.m. Blue Christmas, and it will be on live stream as well. Also to note that next Sunday happens to be December 24th, and so the fourth Sunday of Advent will be here at 9 a.m., just one service, and then we'll have the Christmas Eve services at 4:30 and 9:30. So take a note about those. And then a few things that are also to note. First, adult class directly after service in the library, where we're continuing our series on the Gospel of Mark. And that we are working on updating our photo directory to be distributed at the next annual meeting in January. And so we're looking to get more photos, more up-to-date photos. Anything that's missed, let us know at the Christmas Eve 4:30 service. We will have people there to be able to take photos. So please do seek that out if your photo's not in there or if it needs to be a more current one. So provide that. And then the last thing to note is today at noon, feel free to join us in the parish hall for a simple lunch. And then we're going to go caroling to some folks who can't be here with us in worship who live close by. We're not going to be able to go visit everyone. Those who are nearby and were able to make it to just share a little bit of Christmas spirit there. So please join us at noon for a short meal, and then we'll go out to various places. With those announcements, we'll continue our worship with our offertory hymn.
By your merciful hand, abundance springs up from the earth. Receive and bless these gifts of your bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all people. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and ever-living God. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new in the day when he comes again to judge the world in righteousness. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heaven and earth, have mercy on us.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in the Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, and then said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to be seated now, and as we prepare to receive communion, we'll invite you to come forward and kneel or stand at the altar rail here, or sit in the front pew, and the servers will come to you. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand as you're able. God, for whom we wait, you come to us in the broken bread and the cup we share. Make us ready always to welcome Christ into our hearts and send us forth to be your people in the world, announcing your coming among us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now receive the benediction. The God of peace bless you. The love of Christ sustain you in hope. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit remain upon you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.